Welcome to Meech's Musings here on Miss Monday. Hello out there, Instagram land over here to my left. We're doing Instagram live because I don't know how to do that over there on this yet. So we're working on that. But we are live on the Jeff Meacham Network Instagram. So check us out there. If you can't see us here, I don't know why you can't see us here. But if you can't, you can on Instagram. Welcome to Meech's Musings. I said it earlier. Thank you. Thank you, Smith Grove, for being here. Hello, Kobe. Welcome back. Appreciate everybody being here. Gonna give it a couple minutes to kind of settle in. It is 7 Eastern. We are 1 hour away from Monday Night Raw, live on the USA Network, of course, at the top of the next hour. And it'll be interesting to see how they play out the fallout from WrestleMania and the wake of the decision to continue to live tape. Hello, Mick on Instagram. Hello, Greg. Hello, Baba Booey. Hello, everybody's there. Thanks, Greg, for coming. By the way, on Instagram, the Creep Show right there, if you're seeing the people joining the thing, the Creep Show is our logo guy here on the Jeff Meacham Network. So keep an eye out for him. If you're watching on YouTube right now, you're going, why aren't you looking at me? I'm looking at you guys right now. I love you guys to pieces here on YouTube and everywhere else. Where is my? There's that and there's that. There we go. Okay. So now we got everything plugged in here. Here we go. Of course, the show today is brought to you by Beck Computer Systems. If, for whatever reason, you need information on live media, live streaming, or computers, talk shows, wherever it may be, becraft at beckcomputers.com. That's our buddy Bruce. He is the man. We love Bruce. So, Smith Grove is taking a WWE hiatus. He's taking advantage of these trying times, and he's bailing the hell out. I don't blame him for a minute. No, this is not Dylan's room. This is my room. You're seeing the balloons back there. That's the fallout from Dylan's birthday. You guys will see it back here on the other social medias. But, I am doing it in here. I had the balloons in here because there's more space up there because that's not his bunk anymore. He doesn't sleep up there. So there you go. There's that. So working on getting the green screen, but we will see. Let me say hello to James. Good to be live, sir. James is the man who designed our NoDQ, ran our NoDQ.com Instagram page for the longest time, and he is a awesome person. I can't say enough good things about him. He's a hell of a hand. He's a hell of a nice guy. So there you go. Anyway, again, email Bruce, BeckComputers, BeCraftedBeckComputers.com. He'll get you hooked up with stuff like you're seeing right here on YouTube, on my Facebook page, my Facebook group, the Jeff Meacham Network. Thank you guys for watching the group. On Periscope, on both Twitters, and on Twitch. I'm on Twitch. It's madness, I say. Madness. But I don't use Twitch, so I don't know what that means, but there you go. So give a couple more minutes here. Give everybody a chance to get in here. Again, we're going till 8 Eastern today because I want to actually try to watch Monday Night Raw and see what they do. I'm a little curious how they're going to pull off this these tapings because again, what do you do when you've got a lot of people that don't want to be there and I feel shouldn't have to be there? I don't have to go out if I don't want to. I'd like to go to Starbucks. I'd like to go to, a restaurant, sit down and have a nice dinner with my family, but I don't get the opportunity to do that. Why should the WWE talent be made to do that, So there you go. But the reason we are here today, it's in the graphic. I'll go ahead and throw it up there one more time just in case you missed what it is we are talking about today here on the Jeff Meacham Network on Meacham's Musings. It is this right here, Extreme Championship Wrestling. Their path from the early beginnings all the way to what happened on this day 23 years ago. Can you believe it's 23 years? Dylan and David, hello out there on Instagram land. Thank you. It's been 23 years since ECW, Extreme Championship Wrestling's very first pay-per-view, Barely Legal. Now, I did reach out to Taz. I did reach out to Tommy Dreamer. And I did reach out to the Blue Meanie. I have not heard back from them. I don't expect to hear back from Taz, honestly, because Taz doesn't like me. He's got me blocked, and that's, I did tweet him on my work account, so hopefully maybe you have him on Talk Wrestling on Friday to talk about the history of ECW. I doubt it, only because, again, I've not made very many friends when it comes to with Taz. And E-Deadshots, what's going on? J-E-double-F. It's going, sir. What does it say? What is the name? I can't read that. Helicur Stew. Hey, you're a big fan. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. We are staying safe, E-Dead Shots. We are staying safe here on the Jeff Meacham Network and across the Jeff Meacham family. We're staying safe. We're social distancing as best we can. My parents still go to work. I work here, as you know. My son is doing a distance learning thing with school. We just started up today, as a matter of fact. And yes, he is great. Oh, you bet me. Oh, thank you. Okay, so ECW, they go on pay-per-view for the very first time on this day 23 years ago, but it was not an easy path to pay-per-view for the fledgling promotion outside of out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Definitely not. It is good to see that the essential workers are still being allowed to be essential and do their thing. So good on you working in group homes. One of my dear exes, not the one you guys know out there in TV land, but she runs a series of group homes. So I have tremendous respect for those in that field. It's an amazingly demanding field, and I have a much appreciation, love, and respect for you guys. It is cool to be doing a stream, and I'm glad I'm on Instagram. For some reason, I don't know the algorithm, or whatever, to connect the mainstream, if you will, Boogeyman to Instagram posts. So that's why I'm trying to do it on my phone here. I've got it hooked up. Everything's plugged in. We're all plugged in already, except the tablet's not plugged in, which is not what I wanted to have going because I need the tablet to be working. There goes the phone. Whoops. Phone's moving. It is very late in the UK. I appreciate you watching, David. I appreciate you watching me live at, let's see, it's past midnight for you guys, right? So there you go. Okay, tablet's plugged in. Okay. Jay, what did I say? Jay Bison Fire God. Well, I have a Fire God as a fan. That's pretty damn amazing. I dig that the most. So, okay. Jake, just saw you join in. Thank you, Jake. Let me give you a wave because I want to give you a wave. I am working on what we talked about over the weekend, trying to get schedules coordinated. So, stand by, sir. Okay. I'll work on that for you. Now, okay. So ECW, yes, we are talking about ECW today. I did kind of veer off into the weeds as I always do on my shows, but I wanted to talk about ECW today because, as I mentioned, today was the anniversary of Barely Legal, but it was not an easy path to get to Barely Legal for ECW. Many of you are aware, of course, that ECW started became extreme in 1994 with the throwing down of the legendary 10 pounds of gold by the franchise Shane Douglas in the ECW arena in August of 1994. And that's when WWE recognizes the beginning of the championship history is on that day when Shane threw down the NWA championship and raised the ECW championship on high and declared it a world championship. But a lot of people forget that there were 2 years, more than 2 years, a little over 2.5 years, I would say, that they struggled to find their identity. They were a part of the NWA. They were Eastern Championship Wrestling. They were founded by Todd Gordon, who basically had ran the Tri-State Wrestling Alliance up in the Philadelphia area from, you know, 89 till about 92, I want to say it was. And then Todd bought out his partner, who was Joel Goodhart at the time. If you guys are in the Northeast or were alive back then, y'all are younger than me, so I don't expect everybody to remember this. But Tri-State was no joke, man. They ran serious hardcore wrestling. I believe Tri-State is where Cactus Jack and Eddie Gilbert had their infamous barbed wire rope match back before barbed wire death matches became a big thing around the world, especially in this country. So it may have been a trendsetter. And I remember Mick writing about it in his first book, Haven't I Say, Tale of Blood and Foot Socks, that his original Cactus Jack shirt, the infamous Foley flannel got torn so bad he had to retire it. No, he did not lose his ear in Tri-State. He actually lost his ear in Germany in a match against Vader working for WCW. If you watch it's on the net. I have the DVD, Blu-ray too. It's For All Mankind. It's the Mick Foley's most recent home video release, a Foley centric release, and they actually have the clip of a fan cam in Germany, and you can see when Vader clubs Foley after he's done the Hangman, he's back in the ring, it's gushing blood. You can't really see the blood very well, but yeah, you can see the ear fall off of his head when they slow down the footage. It is disgusting. It is eerie. It is just barbaric. David, I don't remember them having chain tag team titles. You'd have to be a little more clear on that. But that's not what I'm talking about anyway, so it really doesn't not important to the conversation. But look that up by all means. Send me a picture on Twitter or DM, and Instagram DM, since you're on Instagram, and I'll see if I can get a picture of it in front of me and take a look. So, well, God bless you guys watching in Spain. It's past 1 a.m. there, out in the land of the Spaniards. So thank you guys for watching. And Colin's here. Thank you, Colin. I did appreciate the shout out on YouTube about the aftermatch commercial. I really wanted that to look as good as I possibly could, because you guys are a wonderful part of my existence in wrestling as far as the podcasting goes. As a matter of fact, while I have a moment, let's show you exactly what I'm talking about. Everybody on Instagram's going, I don't see what you're talking about. I showed a commercial on the social media. So sorry, Instagram's going, what's going on? I forgot they're not linked. So yeah, there's the commercial for that. So hello, or Tommy. I would love if Tommy would pop in. I hope he comes on, but I'm not hopeful, so we'll see. I had a question for ECW. Yes, I did have a haircut. Thank you for... I was going to mention it. I didn't want to say anything. Yes, I did a complete shave. I head-by-head shaved with an electric razor, and then I bicked the rest. I tried to do it as stone cold as possible. And yes, so I'm rather bald. There you go. So there's what we got here. Where was that question I wanted to put up? I saw it. This damn mouse. Ugh. I hate this mouse so much. I apologize. So, Daniel wants to know, is what if ECW wasn't out of business right now and bought up WWE? Where would the company be? I think Paul said it best on his his bio. My name is Paul. Hello, my name is Paul Heyman. I don't believe that it was destined to ultimately succeed. It was going to be something where it was too big to be small and too small to be big, if that makes any sense. It was they were never going to be Paul did not delegate well. Let's be clear on that. But again, you know, that's what we've heard. Let me answer this by saying yes, I can. I've got Twitter right here on my tablet, so feel free. There you go. Let's see what we got here. I do know who we're up against, but I'm not telling you who. Yeah, I would hope that the FECW was still around. It wouldn't have devolved into what the WWE brand of ECW became. It was quite a train wreck there at the end. Anyway, off topic. So Todd buys out his partner in 1992, and Todd Gordon, for those of you who don't know the name Todd, in ECW history, and he ends up, come on, work. Hello, Ian. Ends up ends up buying out his partner and forms East Championship Wrestling under the ECW, under the NWA banner. They run for about a year and a half, I would say. And if you go on the network, there's ECW TV going back as early as April of 93. So there's that. Jimmy Snuka was their champion. Tito Santana was their champion. Don Morocco. Just a whole lot of legendary names and figures that they felt the need to bring in. And that's how they booked their shows. That's how a lot of indie shows were booked back then, was to bring in these big WWF names and pay them exorbitant amount of money and see where the ticket sales went. And they did well. They did okay. And Eddie Gilbert was brought in to be the booker, and he... Eddie has a reputation. I never met Eddie. I wasn't in the business by the time Eddie passed, so I don't, you know, I can't speak on Eddie's reputation my own self, but I can say that he has a reputation that has been a little out of sorts, a little unstable, and he and Todd ended up having a huge falling out in the course of his being the booker. And he left, and Todd dismissed him, or he left, depending on who you ask. And Todd turned to Eddie's confidant at the time, the guy who had been Eddie's right-hand man, and that man was Paulie Dindersley. What's up, everybody? I know I'm kind of looking back and forth here. I'm sorry for not paying attention. I actually got your tweet, James, so I will show it momentarily. Let me just get this thing worked out here. This shit's just flying everywhere. Okay, so Paul takes over the book in 1993 and immediately decides that, you know what, wrestling needs its own version of Nirvana. Wrestling needs its own shot in the ass, as far as, you know, Nirvana had become the shot in the ass the music industry needed. So Paul E. felt that wrestling needed its own version of Nirvana. Wrestling needed its own version of Nirvana to the shot in the arm. The new thing. And it ended up that he went with an act called Public Enemy. And Public Enemy came out there. They were diving off tables. They were doing the crazy things that only Public Enemy could do back then. They were a crazy, crazy act. And that kind of became the reputation of ECW early on, was they would have hardcore wrestling. They would have good wrestling. They would have actually, they would have different kinds of sports entertainment presentations. They were more about wrestling than they were about sports entertainment, I guess is what I'm trying to say. They did have the different acts in the circus, if you will. They had a ring here and a ring there, as far as they had the high flyers, they had the mat wrestlers, they had the hardcores, they had the tag teams, they had all these kind of different things, and it was still very much a wrestling promotion in that they still were governed overall by the NWA, or so the NWA thought. I mentioned earlier, Shane wins an NWA championship in a tournament after the big secession from WCW, and ECW gets the tournament a year later. Shane wins, throws it down, we're off to the races. And the next day on ECW TV, Todd Gordon holds this press conference and announces the death of Eastern Championship Wrestling, NWA's territory, and the formation of ECW, Extreme Championship Wrestling. And for the next 2.5 years, off they went to the extreme for sure. They would have people like Cactus Jack come in. Sabu was already there. They had the Public Enemy. They had Taz become Taz rather than being the Tasmaniac, the crazy, you know, woolly man gimmick. And it was such an amazing stuff to see. David, I'll get there momentarily. That's toward the end of the discussion as far as the invasion of Raw. So let's stay on task, shall we? Hello in Saudi Arabia. Thank you for watching. Appreciate you guys watching out there in the Middle East. It's late as hell there, so God bless you guys.
It's crazy. Or actually, maybe early there, for all I know. If you're referring to Sabu versus Terry Funk, yes. I don't know if I recommend it, because it was a gory, gory situation, Seth. And not gory, just very, very, it was something. Quite disturbing to see that kind of thing in a wrestling form. Sabu and Terry just tore into each other. It was quite frightening to see it all unfold the way it unfolded. So if you guys are into the barbed wire matches, by all means, check it out. It's on, I don't know if it's on the network. It's pretty pretty barbaric, but I've not seen a documentary called Barbed Wire City. I would love to see it. So let me know if you guys have it. Oh, by the way, James sent me this. Let me just too much stuff to do. Wait a minute. I need comments to go away. So how do I do that? There we go. Okay, comments going away. This isn't about Drew and Money in the Bank, so I don't know why I put that up there. My bad. They were talking about ECW. So there's that. But I wanted to show you guys this, because James tweeted me this, and it made my day, and I'll tell you why. Nothing to do with ECW, but I think it's pretty cool. Let's see how it looks as on the screen there. James sent me that, and if you can see, let's see if I can, right here, right up here, and you guys are going, what's going on Instagram? A friend of mine sent me a tweet. If go ahead and watch on YouTube if you guys are watching on Instagram, but I want to make sure you guys are getting some attention too. If you notice, the defining moments Hulk Hogan figure is wearing a Meechum Mania shirt. That's very cool. Thank you, James. I appreciate that. That's very cool. So anyway, so they go on, and about a year after the NWA incident, Todd sold the company outright to Paul Heyman, who formed the corporation, HHG Corporation, which I believe was named after his parents and him, because I think his parents were the co-signers, if you will, of the loan to the fund ECW. So Paul is now the booker, and he's the owner, so he's the money man too. So that's where the shit starts hitting the fan. I mean, let's be real. But it ended up being one of those things where it was good and bad, because Paul is probably the most creative person I've ever seen in my life, as far as wrestling goes. There is no greater singular mind than Paul Heyman, in wrestling, in my opinion. I think Paul had all the wonderful ideas. I think he had all the know-how to get things done. He just didn't have the opportunities to have the funds to do it. I'm not sure what you mean, but I'm here. Okay, again, we're not focusing on WWE current storylines right now. ECW, the path from formation to barely legal. Stay on topic. Okay, so Paul's got the book. They're running shows out of Philadelphia and the General Northeast. They've got MSG TV. They've got all kinds of things going on. They even have some incidents that kind of cost them some viewers, unfortunately. Mainly, what I can think of off the top of my head is the entire pregnancy angle with Beulah McGillicuddy, Raven, Tommy Dreamer, Kimona Wanalea, and Shane Douglas outing everybody as far as what was going on. That got them thrown off of MSG TV as well as several other stations. I believe it was every station from what Tommy Dreamer said on the documentary. So crazy times, but they were the true alternative. They weren't like, you know, people were very quick to tout TNA as the alternative to WWE and WCW or WWE at the time. But in a time where WWE and the WWF and WCW were very much doing cartoon characters and clowns and occupational wrestlers like janitors and dentists and
cowboys and animals and just different things. Then ECW had wrestling. They had knockdown, drag out, full out brawls. They had guys in the ring together who would just tear into each other. That's what they would do. But they would do it in a way where the censors, the cable companies, if you will, were hesitant to put them on pay-per-view because, those guys are real. We can't sponsor that. That's like Ultimate Fighting. They're real. And one of the guys that was a big component of that has this message for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mick Foley.
If you're like me, you've got plenty of time on your hands during this coronavirus quarantine time. Things are going to get better. It's just a matter of time. But until they do, you should do what I do and watch Josh Talks on YouTube. This guy's interviewing skills, man, I've seen a lot of them, but Josh is the most recent. So watch Josh Talks right there on your YouTube. Stay safe and have a nice day.
Mick Foley, everybody. Thank you again, Mick, for promoting my boy Josh. It's much appreciated. Seth, I will answer your question because it is ECW relevant. I just, other than Rob, Shane Douglas. Shane Douglas definitely deserved better than that sappy Dean Douglas bullshit gimmick he was given in 95. I think that's almost a given, right? That's how it should have been anyway. So that's, yeah, again, oh well. So we go into 1996 and, ECW is still the engine that could, and the WWF is getting its butt kicked in the ratings by WCW and, of course, the NWO. The NWO is running roughshod over the entire company, the entire world of wrestling. I mean, they are the most dominant thing in wrestling, and by the fall of 96, they have entrenched themselves as the number one company in the world, WCW has, I mean. So, Vince, in a moment of, you know, almost a very un-Vince-like for today, moment of zen, I guess, decides to allow WWE programming to feature ECW competitors. And it mind games in your house on September 22nd. There we go. The Sandman, Tommy, Paul, and Taz are all in the front row at Mind Games at the Spectrum, I believe is where they are, either the Spectrum or the Core State Center, whichever one was, or I'm pretty sure it was the Spectrum, but I could be wrong on that one. And there they were. And a matter of fact, they interfered. There was a match between Bradshaw and Savio Vega, where Bradshaw got a beer thrown at him, and Savio and I think Sandman or Savio and Dreamer got into a fight. Crazy, crazy stuff. Crazy time. It was really, really interesting to see. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that. The next night, we saw Taz and Fonzie, Bill Alfonso, hop the guardrail with a Sabu Fierce Taz sign, and they acknowledged it on TV, but they didn't outright say ECW. So it was very, very, very crazy times. Unfortunately, as the year wore on, we had an incident at the ECW arena, and it's prevalent in my mind right now because I just watched the New Jack documentary of Dark Side of the Ring, and it was the first time I'd gotten to actually see this take place. It was on November 23rd, 1986, at the Wonderland Ballroom, actually, in Revere, Massachusetts. That was ECW Arena, I take that back. It was in Revere, up in Mass, Massachusetts. And what happened was, if you guys aren't aware, it was supposed to be Axel Rotten and Devon Dudley. Bubba and Devon weren't a team yet, I don't believe, because I think Bubba was still doing the stuttering dance guy. Devon hadn't turned him hardcore, turned him dark yet. And basically what happened was Axel, I believe, was ill, or he had traveling issues or something. Some sort of thing where he could not make the show. And there was a wrestling fan backstage who claimed he was 23 or 26 or so above age. He was of the legal age to sign off on this. He claimed he was a wrestler, claimed he'd been trained by Killer Kowalski, had a wrestler who was already in the company or in the business sign off on his age, and he was put in the match. And ended up, he was asked to get color, which I, you know, as a untrained person, I would not have done that. And I've seen somebody I know and love it near and dear gig themselves with the same type of thing that was used on this person, Mass Transit, Air Kulas, if you don't know the gentleman's name, and it was a scalpel, and he was uncomfortable with it, and he asked New Jack, one of the gangsters, New Jack and Mustafa Saeed, of course, and honestly, he asked Jack if he could cut, and New Jack, from what has been testified in court and everything, said, "This is a bad idea. This is a bad, bad, bad idea. I don't recommend this at all. I don't think you should do this. I don't think you should even bother." And the kid was insistent that he get color. And so, there you go. He did. And he cut so deep that, he cut too deep and severed two arteries in the forehead of the kid. And then he passed out in the middle of the ring. His dad was there screaming, and he's just a kid. He's only 17, and it's if you watch it, they showed it on the Dark Side of the Ring. Again, can't recommend that enough. The Dark Side of the Ring the shows, they're all great. There should be one tomorrow night. I believe the one tomorrow night is about Jimmy Snuka, so that should be something. The Jimmy Snuka and his girlfriend and that whole thing. I mentioned Jimmy earlier. He's a WWE champion. What's funny is the kid ended up flipping the crowd the bird after the match to keep playing the bad guy. So it was like, okay, must be okay. They not only lost every TV that they had, pretty much, but the pay-per-view companies were already looking for a reason to take out ECW. Christmas Eve, 1996, the pay-per-view companies tell Paul that the ECW's pay-per-view is canceled for 1997. So they'd worked so hard, they'd worked so long to get on pay-per-view. They had, you know, busted their ass for the majority of the previous 5 years, between having Todd running under NWA territory, between Paul taking over the book, between Paul taking over the company as a whole. You know, all these things have happened, all this talent raids from WCW, all these things happening. They get cross promotion from the WWF, and then they lose everything. They lose everything. And it was so heartbreaking and so disheartening for everybody involved that, and you know what? Yeah, I agree with what this says right here. It is a damn amazing thing that ECW didn't die right then and there. It was just unbelievable that they survived as long as they did. It was just, it should have been the end of everything. It really should have been. And Paul begged and pleaded and went everything he could to get the company back on pay-per-view. And finally, they did get back on pay-per-view. A couple months later, they were allowed to re-promote their pay-per-view. It was going to be a Sunday night at 9 p.m. as opposed to 8, because they're too extreme for 8 o'clock like the other companies were. So there was that. Let me see if I can get this up real quick, because I really want to say this verbatim. I don't think I meant to have the video to play. I didn't want to get in trouble with Blaustein or WWE, so I will be there momentarily. So, in the process of promoting the pay-per-view, and I'll get to this really quick, Seth. I mean, yeah, this was scary too. I forgot to. I was going to bring it up, and I remember reading it very vividly reading it in Mick Foley's book, the fire incident with Terry Funk, where the fireball basically ignited off the chair, the flaming chair, if you will, and completely set Terry on fire. That I saw that happen on a YouTube video or some sort of video not too long ago, and it was freaking frightening. Scary, scary shit. For sure. So let's see here if I can. That's okay. I'll figure it out later. So they get on pay-per-view, and in the process of getting on pay-per-view, not only did they get to promote their show, their pay-per-view on their own television, but the WWF decides, hey, we're going to go ahead and re-promote. We'll have you on too. So in February of 97, in the midst of this Monday Night War with WCW, the WWF features ECW on Monday Night Raw. Here they are in the Manhattan Center. Paul's there. Tommy's there. Sandman's there. The Dudleys, the BWO, they're all there, including the infamous dive off the Ross line by Taz, which is funnier than hell. Just funnier, funny. And it was an inside joke on Taz because he wasn't supposed to fall off the R. He was supposed to dive off the R onto Team Taz. He ended up just kind of falling there. And it was just classic stuff. Great stuff. I'm trying to find the text here. Let's see. If they I don't need the text. Okay. Anyway. So ECW promotes on Raw and on other WWF televisions, which I thought was super, super cool. I don't know what I wanted to do either, damn it. Whoops. There we go. So it was I love this because Jerry Lawler was so opposed to everything that that was going on with ECW being promoted on WWE TV. He did not want any part of that. It was just crazy. So there you go. But it was really cool. And of course we saw Jerry get involved later with ECW after Barely Legal. And we'll talk about that another time, I'm sure. So they end up promoting with WWE. They end up doing all these things with different, with the promotions, and the build-up toward ECW's pay-per-view is not the championship, surprisingly. It is the feud that had gone on for over a year. When Taz got hurt in 95, he was teaming with Sabu. And Sabu chose to take a guaranteed paid gig over in Japan and no-showed ECW, even though he swore to God to be there, according to Paul. So from that point on, Taz decided that he was going to call out. Sabu. And Taz just hounded Sabu and just berated him and just completely hounded Sabu and ended up at the November to Remember, I think it was in 96, prior to the mass transit shit going down, the lights went out at ECW show, and when they came back up, there was Taz and Sabu in the ring together for the first time ever. So trying to find the speech because I really want to read it because it's really, really good. Damn it. Oh, well, that's okay. Anyway, so they promote. And speaking of promotion, I got to do one more commercial break. I know you guys are like sick of these commercials, but this one's important because this is the guy that's going to watch what we're talking about with me coming up on Wednesday. Check me out.
The champ is here! 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 The champ is here!
Greg Cherry, ladies and gentlemen. Can't say enough good things about Greg Cherry. Hell of a hand. Hell of a host. So we'll get there. So they get to ECW Arena. It's April 13th, 1997. They're standing backstage in that beat up old warehouse, the Bingo Hall, Viking Hall, whatever you want to call it. And Paul and Todd are standing right there on the steps, as Paul did many times. And tonight, people paying $20, hopefully, to see you do what you have done for the past 3.5 years. Thank Terry Funk for being on Selfish Times, for being there for us, for taking the young guys and showing them the best way. I appreciate that, but Greg beat me. Flat out, Greg beat me. It is what it is. Greg Cherry beat me, and he is the champion. And hopefully, if things go well, the show will be up Friday with a brand new season of Wrestling Trivia Challenge. So stay tuned for that. So Paul makes this grand speech. You guys have seen it on Beyond the Mat. You can find it on YouTube. I found it like 6 times on YouTube last night trying to edit into this broadcast. But I thought, you know, probably not the best idea because I don't want to get in trouble with WWE or with Mr. Blaustein. So Paul makes the speech, rallies the troops, tells them, you guys have made it to the dance. This is the dance. Start the show. And you and I, all of you, and Greg Cherry and I will indeed start that show, because this Wednesday, right here, not here on Instagram because I can't do that, but on the Jeff Meacham Network across YouTube, and it'll be on YouTube and the Anchor for sure app. If you guys are listening on Anchor, thank you for listening on Anchor. I really, really appreciate that you guys sticking with me on Anchor, because it was on Beyond the Mat, James. So I'll go ahead and throw you up there. It was on Beyond the Mat. Again, another movie I can't recommend enough, Beyond the Mat. Just great stuff, despite what Vince McMahon will tell you. So stay tuned, because Wednesday, the plan, fingers crossed, arms crossed, eyes crossed, is to have Greg and I watch for the very first time. I think the first time Greg's ever seen it ever. I could be wrong. We'll have to find out Wednesday when we watch ECW's Barely Legal on Wrestling Rewind right here on the Jeff Meacham Network. We will see you guys next time. Don't forget, Wednesday, Barely Legal. Friday is Talk Wrestling. So stick around. We'll see you guys next time.